are so many things in life that you have to compromise, especially because of budget, the clothes you buy, the food you buy, and healthcare should not be one of those things. Check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, listen to, and prioritize your health. I use ZocDoc. I have a bunch of health issues. For example, my feet randomly hurting so bad that I cannot walk anywhere. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Go to ZocDoc.com/BCC and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/BCC. ZocDoc.com/BCC.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to the chain.
This is the BCC Club. I'm Kendall Landreth, and I'm here with
Sarah Schauer. And this week we're talking about girls, girls.
Girls, girls, girls. It sounds like we're just talking about girls.
Or we're talking about that Motley Crue song, Girls, Girls, Girls.
Ooh.
Anyone from the 80s here?
anyone?
Mm-hmm.
You were talking about girls, girls.
Yeah.
Would you consider yourself a girls, girl?
I'm not a... I don't really identify as a girl. But yes, the concept I would apply to me because I do, I mean, as a lesbian,
yeah,
I just, centering men is not, would not make sense.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, have you ever, I'm trying to think if I've ever met a lesbian who centers men.
Yeah.
They'd have to be a baby lesbian.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally misguided?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if I've met men. I don't think I was trying to really think about it, but I don't think so.
Yeah.
Or I guess someone who could, I mean, you can be a lesbian and be like a complete asshole. Or you
yeah.
can be a lesbian and be like a narcissist. So I guess people like that probably have, there's nuances, but I feel like for the most part, it is funny. I just don't really think about men very often. Like, when
yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, why do I dress like such a piece of shit? And then I realize I like don't care what anyone thinks.
Yeah.
And not in a, like, I'm cool. Like, I care what people think about me in a people-pleasy way that I need to work on. But in terms of, like, how I dress, I do not think about men. I'm like, I guess some people, not that if you get dressed really cute every day, you're doing it for men. I'm not saying that. But I am, just for me, like, I've never thought about how I'm being perceived looks-wise.
Mm-hmm. I want to say something for all the feminists out there, like, cracking their knuckles, beginning to type. Okay. No one can escape the male gaze. However, anyone can decenter men. What Kendall said is that Kendall dresses for themselves.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
However, that is influenced by the male gaze because yes. everyone, so shut your mouth.
No, 100%. And I've been objectified by men
mm-hmm.
based on, so I 100% agree
Being
with what
you're
saying.
Being a lesbian doesn't exempt you from... And we'll get into it second and
Trust
third
me.
Wave feminist. Yeah. No.
No, I would consider myself, I don't really consider myself a girl, but I would consider myself a girl's girl, I guess.
Yes.
Like the, you know. But I think I just do look out, I look out for girls. And I inherently like trust women more, which I think is not always great. I was thinking about that this morning, because when I was a kid, it's a little bit of a tangent, surprise, surprise. But when I was a little girl, one time I got lost in a Macy's.
Uh-huh.
And my mom always told me, whenever you get lost, go up to a woman, like a grown woman, and tell her that you can't find your mom. And it was always very, you know, make sure it's a woman. And I think a lot of people's parents told them that. And so the first time I got lost in Macy's, I went up to this woman. I was like 3 years old, and I was like, I'm lost. I'm so scared. And I was like sobbing. And she took me to the Macy's customer service, and they gave me a teddy bear and a bunch of candy. And they all sat with me and like played with me for like 30 minutes until my mom came back. And was like, oh, my God, where were you? And then I was like, wait, this is incredible. And then my mom eventually had to put me on a leash because I would continue to run away and go up to women and be like, I'm lost. Please help me.
Yeah.
Send me to the Macy's customer service desk.
I can't believe that you were a leash kid.
Yeah. And I'm not a, I'm honestly a pretty pro leashes on kids.
I was gonna
that
say
need
I,
them.
I was gonna say I was a crate kid.
Sarah,
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Sarah said I was a shock fence kid. Yeah. You know,
shock collar.
I was a shock collar kid.
Yeah.
No, because I think most kids do not need a leash, and I think you do need to like. I do think you need to like teach your kid. I think there's some tools, especially nowadays, that are coming out that kind of like make an issue not happen for your kids, but your kid like needs to learn. Your like, kid needs to know they can't run away from you and not run into the street.
Yeah.
So if you just put a leash on them from the time they're born, you'll never really have to like teach them that because they'll just be on a leash. And I think that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
But my mom had kids before me, never on a leash. Sometimes you get a kid that needs to be put on a leash.
That
and
is true.
I was that. I was chaotic. And I also had ADHD, so I would just wander away. Like,
yeah.
I wasn't even most of the time trying to run away. I would just, like, see something and sprint away. Or they would all be walking, and I would just stop and start talking to a woman, and I would. I needed to be on a leash. But then I started shoplifting in the leash. I would put little candies in the pockets, and it wasn't great. But But I was thinking this morning, I was walking my dog. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But because I, once again, probably not going to have kids, but I really do think about parenting a lot. I think because it's always pushed to me on the internet, like these moms, there's so much mom content on the internet. So it makes you like think like, oh, what would I do? And I was like, would I say that to my kid now? Because my instinct would be like, yes, don't go up to a man and tell them that you're alone and you don't know where anyone is.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm like, oh, is that, but I also don't want to like instill. That's really scary to be like, I'm now choosing at this moment to instill fear in my kids of men. And do I want to do that? But then at the same time, I was like, I guess I do because they're dangerous.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to say that. You know, I'm not going to say it. I'm done saying not all men. I'm done.
All men are scary and will kill.
And maybe you would go up to a bad woman and she would kidnap you. But I was like, oh, it's interesting. As a parent, you have to like instill a fear in your kid of men.
Yeah.
Because even as a young kid, I was like, well, I know I'm not supposed to ask men for help because they will take me. And that's so interesting.
Yeah.
I have no answer. It's just interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I would say statistically, like, the likelihood of running into a murderous woman, very low. So I feel fine telling my children.
I think I would tell my kid that. At the end of this dog walk, I decided that. I was like, I think I just would need to still do it because I, you know.
And then you released Angel from the leash.
I said, Angel, let's see what you do. Yeah. Well, how was your week before we get into being a girl's girl?
It was good. Naomi and I, it was Valentine's Day a couple days ago, and I bought like 8 bouquets of red roses.
Oh.
And I put like flowers everywhere, and I wanted to do like buy like a box of petals, but I couldn't find any because I bought them day of. And so then I when I started ripping the petals off the roses, they wouldn't, like, they would tear in half and they look kind of stupid.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I'm going to do a Carrie Bradshaw from Sex and the City, the movie.
What'd she do?
She, like, beat big with a thing of roses. So I did that on the counter, and, like, I don't have a screen on my back. So I just imagine my neighbors always walk by. So if they saw me, they would have seen me just, it looked like I was so pissed, like I got broken up with, but I don't know if anyone saw me, but I was just slamming it on the counter for like a good 10 minutes until they
work.
Yeah. And then
that's
amazing. We put roses everywhere. We ordered our favorite food. And then we, can I say something graphic, explicit?
Yes.
So I love cigarettes. And at the counter, whenever I go, there's these packs of honey that are supposed to like really rev your engine. And so
what they're like,
sex honey.
They're sex honey. Interesting.
And I've been buying them because you know how medication will like numb.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I need to really get this going. And so I was like, do those work? And so then I've been making tea and it really riles me up.
What?
I've been the gas station sex honey. I've been using
every
single time. So good.
For some reason, gas station sex honey does feel like something that's going to come. First of all, a great name if you want to start a band.
Yes.
But also feels like something I'm going to see an article in a couple weeks that's like, do not buy the sex honey at the gas station. It is just cocaine.
No, seriously. I'm like, but it's so good. It's in like a little black packet.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it works.
So we indulged in that and, you know, did the lesbian stuff. We have this issue of Dopey likes to
watch.
Yeah. So we got to.
Dopey.
But the thing is every time we shut him in the bedroom, he shits.
Well, but it's, if you get to do what you enjoy, he should get to do what he enjoys.
But the thing is, it's not like he has a shitting problem. It's like, I guess, the time of night. He's always just, you know. But it was, other than that, it was really romantic.
That's lovely.
And they got me some chocolates from Poland. I can't pronounce it.
Okay.
But yeah.
You outdid us. We stayed in our hotel room and I got Jordan a Duke's Mayo cast iron skillet.
Duke's Mayo?
Yes. I rarely reach out to brands and say, listen, send me something for free. But I saw that Duke's Mayo released a cast iron skillet.
Oh, that makes, you're from North Carolina.
Yes.
That's why. I was like, how do you know?
Yes, yes. The Dukes. Well, I did a brand deal with Dukes a while back, and I became obsessed with them because they sent me, they would continue to send me merch, and it was so sweet in a way. I'm very easily pleased. Like, I was paid for this brand deal, but then it was like, when my dad passed away, they sent me like Duke's Mayo gibbets for my Crocs.
Oh.
And then when I got diagnosed with lupus, they sent me Duke's Mayo.
When your dad passed away, they sent you Duke's Mayo gibbets for your Crocs?
How sweet is that? And it was a note that was like, here are gibbets to lighten your day. Sorry for your father, Duke's Mayo.
Oh my God. Sorry.
And then when I got diagnosed with lupus, they sent me Duke's Mayo like pendants for, is pendants? Is that what it's right? Those triangles you'd put on your wall? Fabric,
dream catcher?
Duke's Mayo dream catcher.
No,
they sent me little things for my wall, and then they sent me a shirt that says it's a Christmas shirt that says like have a holly jolly mayo.
You just got diagnosed with lupus.
Yeah, and they said,
and then your father died. What's wrong with them?
And they said some mayo merch. They said, you want more mayonnaise? We got it. And so then I said, Dukes, I love you. And so I sent them. They released this cast iron skillet that at the bottom it's engraved. It says Duke's Mayo.
Yeah.
And I said, I've never asked for anything from you. Please come through for Valentine's Day and send me one of these. And they did, and it's perfect.
That's so nice. The the brand that I often associate with in times of medical stress is I used to have really bad panic attacks.
Yeah.
And so I was talking about online. I always pop in a warhead.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because a warhead will, like, take you out of a panic attack because it's so sour. It, like, distracts you. And so, like, I was just having nonstop panic attacks, and Warhead sent me, like, a big old box of loose warheads. And it took me, like, years to get through that.
That's sweet.
And I used to work in advertising, so I love pitching stuff. And I think on their Twitter account or something, they were like, I was trying to pitch, like, oh, you should do, like, for mental health awareness, like, Papa. And they were like, the thing is that's a medical claim.
Yeah.
And so we would have to have it tested by science to, like, even. And I was like, you know what? I'm done.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, but it was, so
wonderful.
Duke's Mayo for Valentine's
Day. I am not as good at the gift giving as my partner is.
Yeah.
I think I do a lot of other things, but they always get me such romantic presents, and I always think I've nailed it. And then when you compare them next to each other, I'm like, what is wrong with me? They got me like so we bought a house together a couple years ago, and it was like very special for me.
Yeah.
I like was so excited, and because I never thought I'd be able to do that. And also, it's like our first home together, so it's very special to us. And they got me like a necklace that's like the key, and then it says like our apartment number on it. And just comparing that with a Duke's Mayo cast iron skillet, I was like, I need to step it up. But I think they really liked it.
Well, yeah, I mean, they love food.
Right.
And
they
so
love to
a
cook.
And a cast iron skillet is like a essential piece of the kitchen.
And it was nice. It was, and they said it was their favorite cast iron skillet brand. That might be a lie, but they did tell me that.
I mean,
who knows? But I'm not as good at the really sentimental gifts.
Yeah.
I feel like I do. I'll be like, that's the perfect. I'm so like utilized. I'm like, what can they use? And I'll be like, this is the perfect thing for them. And then I'll be getting them like dishwasher soap, and they've gotten me like a really thoughtful present. So I always struggle with that. But what was I going to say? Well,
I was going to say, I was like, Naomi's non-binary, so they're not and Jordan is as well.
And
so
we're a little bit.
We're they's thems. Them theirs.
were them theirs? But there's also girls, girls.
Yeah. I love the idea of like prioritizing the non-binary people. Yes. Actually, I like that a lot. But yeah, so what is a girl's girl, Kendall?
A girl's girl puts emphasis on the importance of tight-knit female friendships.
Mm-hmm.
Scattered TikTok/Reddit definitions. It means supporting other women, uplifting each other without any pettiness, jealousy, etc. It's the opposite of a pick-me girl. You don't put down other women in an effort to get male validation or to make yourself appear not like other girls. A girl's girl's goal is to be supportive of other women. Yeah, just go, this is the same thing. But it's like, yeah, it's a girl who puts women first. I feel like a great example is like, you know, when a guy cheats on his girlfriend, some girls would get mad at that girl.
Yeah.
But a girl's girl might break up with her boyfriend and then go be friends with that girl.
Oh, yeah.
Because she's like, we're in the same boat. And I am backing you 100%. Hello, everyone. It's Kendall. And I'm so excited today to share with you that today's episode is sponsored by ZocDoc. I love ZocDoc. We know it to be true. There are so many things in life that you have to compromise, especially because of budget, the clothes you buy, the food you buy, and healthcare should not be one of those things. No matter your budget, you should always be getting good care when it comes to your health. Check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, listen to, and prioritize your health. I use ZocDoc. I have a bunch of health issues, and it is so nice when a new one arises. For example, my feet randomly hurting so bad that I cannot walk anywhere. I don't know an orthopedic doctor, so it's great to go on ZocDoc and make sure that I'm finding one that has a bunch of really good reviews from people who have used them before. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Go to ZocDoc.com/BCC and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/BCC. ZocDoc.com/BCC.
Hello.
We're Katie Kershaw,
Tian Tran,
and DR Fightmaster.
And we're thrilled to bring you Jocular, a podcast that explores all things queer, trans, and women forward in the world of sports.
Don't care about sports? That's okay. We got plenty of gossip and stories that everyone can enjoy.
We're going to tell you who is who on the field and who is just a fucking smoke show.
Check out Jocular, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast.
J-O-C-K-U-L-A-R.
Do you want to hear something weird that happened to me recently as a lesbian?
What?
Okay, so I was talking to this straight girl. Like, we were friendship stuff. And so I revealed to her that I used to date men before, like, I realized I was a lesbian. And she's like, oh, my gosh, show me pictures of your ex-boyfriends. And I was like, then show me pictures of your ex-boyfriends.
Yeah.
And so I pull up pictures of my ex-boyfriend. Well, she shows me hers. And I'm like, they're, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I know.
Homely.
Yeah.
they're not attractive.
Yeah.
And sorry, I'm sorry. But and then I show her pictures of my ex-boyfriends.
And when they're what?
Hot.
They're hot?
Oh yeah, I didn't date ugly dudes.
Oh wow.
Okay. Oh.
Good but for
the,
you.
But the thing is, what was crazy is that she got so weird. Quiet, cold, distant. Like there it was as if.
Where were you?
What?
Where were you?
What do you mean?
Where were you meeting this woman?
Oh, I was just hanging out with her.
Oh, okay, great. I just didn't know. For some reason, I thought this was like, for some reason, I was imagining you at the post office. I don't know why. That was where my head was imagining this scenario where you've just run into this woman.
No. It's
you're just hanging out.
Okay. Yeah, if I say where, it'll be.
Got it.
It'll get to. Okay. But and it was almost like she couldn't believe. And it was almost like there was a weird power dynamic shift.
Because the men you dated were hot, you think?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was like, it was weird. Because she was like quiet afterwards.
Right.
And it was, and I felt like, and I wanted to be like, well, I'm gay now. You know that, right?
Right, right.
Like these, you couldn't have them.
Yeah.
Sister?
Yeah. You said, I'll call them up.
Go for it. You just got to move to the East Coast. Yeah. But no, so it was weird. And I was like, damn. I don't know. It
interesting.
Felt weird.
But did you feel that was girls' behavior? Probably not.
I don't think it was.
No, I don't think it was.
I think she created this like competition.
Yeah.
Because I mean, like you never assume that a lesbian's gonna date a hot dude.
Right.
Because you're like, I mean, maybe you think lesbians can't tell if a guy's hot.
Yeah.
But we can tell if a guy's hot. 100%. We're just not attracted to him. Like you and Channing Tatum have always.
We've always hit it off.
You've gone way
we've
back.
We've always thought each other were really hot. Honestly, I think sometimes lesbians have a better perspective where we can be more objective where we're like, you guys, he's not hot. Like sometimes with Timothée Chalamet, I'm like, you guys, what?
Oh no. I feel like,
it's not that he's unattractive, to be clear, Timothée, if you're listening.
Yeah.
It's just like hot is such a specific thing. Like I'm like Channing Tatum. I've said it before. I'll say it again.
Yeah.
Is hot. Like that man is a hot man. Like that is so specific. I think Timothée Chalamet is good looking, but when people are like, God, I just want him to like tell me what to do. I'm like, really? Interesting.
I know. He's just, but the thing is like, you know, fuck, I keep blanking. Okay. I hate when someone's like, when someone's talking about a female celebrity and the female celebrity has done nothing wrong and they're like, I just feel like she's kind of a bitch or whatever, because right. that's misogyny. I can always tell when a man is a piece of shit.
Yes.
And it's always the ones that everyone likes for that month.
Is there a celebrity that you're like, a male celebrity that people really like right now that you're like, he's a dick?
Matt Rife. But even, No. Before all this shit happened, when he was like,
oh, you knew.
The
you
people's knew. Princess, you know?
Was he?
Yeah. I was like, he is, no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
There's no way. Okay. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do know what you mean. I feel similarly. Like, sometimes I'm just like, I can tell when someone's putting on a lot for the camera.
Someone said, in my mind, a girl's girl presumes the best of all women and operates from a place of support and encouragement rather than rivalry, suspicion, or pettiness towards other women. Yeah, there's a lack of competition. Like, the thing is that I love a lot of women. I especially love a good bitch. You know what I mean? I love a polarizing woman and she is totally warranted in her bitchness as long as it is not rooted in jealousy or insecurity.
Yeah.
If it's from just like, if she's goal oriented and if then she's a bitch, then I'm all for it.
It's like the one thing that pulls me to Candace Owens. People always are like, obsession with Candace Owens. Obviously, I despise Candace Owens. I think she's a nightmare and I disagree with everything she says. But so 1% part of me is like, this energy, though, I do find fun. I love this just like, I don't give a literal fuck. Yeah. And I am a bitch and I don't care. I like it. And she's horrible, to be clear. But I just saw comments last time that were like, Kendall's obsession with Candace Owens is so insane. And I was like, I know. It's sick. People also said she may also presume the best of men and provide her male friends with support, too.
No, that's an invalid definition.
<And no. laughs>
The thing is, okay, I'm gonna say this as a lesbian. Straight girls have got to stop, like, tacking on the not all men. I know you tried to do that earlier.
I don't do it in my everyday life, to be clear. I get a little nervous on podcasts, like when we're doing a podcast, to be honest, where I'm like, I gotta be so clear with what I'm saying.
I get so annoyed when we're talking about girls, right? And someone's like, and guys are like, if you think, or, oh my God, with the Barbie movie, everyone was like, you just gotta find your Alan. Alan's great, right? But don't.
Tell me you missed the point of the movie without telling me you missed the point of the movie.
Yeah, Alan is the outlier. It's a big, but it's just the emphasis on Alan was so, the Barbie movie, I have, whatever. But like, it's like, do we gotta always talk about the good guys?
No, yeah, exactly.
Even the
right.
good guys can't hold a candle to like what the most bare minimum lesbian does.
Right. Well, and that this is the thing. this is what we were talking about last episode, but it is the feelings versus what is actually happening.
Yeah.
So I think sometimes with men, it's like, you're going to hurt this nice guy's feelings. And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, to my close friends in my life that are men, I try not to.
Yeah.
But feelings are so much less important than, like, the fact that you as a straight white man can do literally anything you want and have been given so much opportunity and privilege since you were a child compared to everyone else.
Yeah.
And obviously there's levels to that, but I am just like, yeah, you getting your feelings hurt is just kind of, it's not the same as what everyone else is dealing with.
Yes. It's true.
I'm not even talking about myself. I'm very privileged, but I just mean it. Sometimes I'm like, yeah, just because a bunch of people are being like, I hate men. It like doesn't translate into the business world in any capacity. So you're still like top dog over there and can make a ton of money. So who cares? Celeb definition. Recently, in a cover interview with Variety, Ice Spice told the magazine that many rappers pretend to be girls' girls.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yes,
so,
famously, Nicki Minaj, huge girls' girl.
So I did mention this book last time. I'm not done reading it. The Culture of Narcissism with, you know, you put celebrities up on a pedestal, and the culture of narcissism values optics over everything. How you look, it doesn't matter how you are. But, like, yeah, Ice Spice told people, rappers pretend because optically it'd be better to be perceived as, you know, a female ally than be a misogynistic piece of shit. So I believe you, Ice Spice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. People want to be all, I'm a girl's girl, but behind the scenes being bitches, I feel like the competition is what keeps us all excited, because I think we secretly enjoy competing and seeing who puts the shit on better and who's going to get the most views, the singer said. I think Ice Spice said that.
Okay, so that's not a girl's girl perspective. If it's competing in terms of the rap game, right, and succeeding in that way, that's a valid thing. But if you're talking about competition between women, that is a huge product of the patriarchy. Yeah. And so, Ice Spice, please.
Maybe she's saying that's what people think, or that's what people secretly do, or I don't know.
No, I think she's saying that, who puts the shit on better and who's going to get the most views.
Yeah.
Well,
I would say for celebrity definitions, this isn't in here, but I feel like it is so commonly talked about being a girl's girl on The Bachelor.
Oh, yeah.
Have you watched The Bachelor?
No.
I've never heard the term girl's girl be more used than every woman that's ever on The Bachelor.
Yeah.
They love to say they're a girl's girl. And some of them are. But I think also sometimes I'm like, to me, a girl's girl, to me, mm-hmm. would be like any... I mean, it's complicated with gender, but I think anyone who's not really a straight white man.
Yeah.
It's a straight white man. I'm like, it isn't just being nice to them and being like, hi, oh my God, I love you. Like, I want to hang out with you and party. And like, if you were drunk, I'd hold your hair back.
Yeah.
I think sometimes it is like, you would ruin your relationship with this man on The Bachelor for the dignity and respect of this woman.
Yes.
And I feel like, so every girl on The Bachelor is always like, I'm a girl's girl. And then by the end, they're fucking coming for each other for this man. And I'm like, if you were really a girl's girl, you'd be like, I don't really give a fuck.
Yeah.
Although that gets complicated, because I'm like, maybe they're trying to build, they don't care about this man, but they're trying to build their career, which is most likely what's happening. And maybe in that sense, they're mm-hmm. a boss bitch.
Yes.
But I think it just, a lot of people say they're girl's girls and they're absolutely not.
I would give the Bachelor girls like a little bit of a, not a free pass, but some slack, since they are in a very unnatural environment.
That's true.
Which is competition, being pitted against other women.
Yes.
But in the world free of reality TV, I mean, I think it's a bit different.
Yes.
But yes, I also think, okay, so I know that we said, are we girls, girls? I'm going to say this. I don't think you can call yourself a girl's girl. That's a title you have to earn.
Okay.
It's similar to the title of nice guy.
Oh, sure.
If a man says he's a nice guy, he is a serial killer.
Yeah.
If someone says, oh, he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Right? Girl's girl. If you profess that you're a girl's girl, no.
If you open with, I'm a girl's girl.
What's that? You need to be knighted with that.
Sure.
Like, I need to, you need girls to have swords and each shoulder, girl's girl.
Yeah.
You can't do it to yourself or else it's,
I think it's hard for me. I've never even thought about if I'm a girl's girl because I spend so little time with men.
Yeah.
Like, what's my other option?
I am of the girl. Yes. I am not a girl's girl.
I am girl.
Yes. I'm big girl.
I'm big
like
mama
big pharma,
girl.
But like big girl.
So who coined the phrase, Sarah?
It says there's no like clear creator. It slowly became popular in the early 2000s. There's a reason why the category is gaining steam in present day. You know, it says think back to early 2000 trends that demanded women to denounce their femininity. The cool girl who loved hanging out with the boys, hated Pink, ruled the zeitgeist. Yeah, even the literal singer Pink, when she had that song Stupid Girls, like back then I was like, I love that because some girls are stupid. And I was like, no. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. So you have to, I mean, I used to hate Pink and like, not Pink the singer. Right. I used to hate Pink the color.
Be careful.
And I hated like things that were feminine because I like wanted to be like cool. And then as soon as I realized I was gay, I was like, men suck. I'm wearing pink.
Yeah.
But yeah. Okay. So today the internet calls this person the pick me girl. She thrives on being different. You know, which would be better from other girls and seeks male validation. And then according to Dr. Amelia Morris, lecturer in communications at the University of Exeter, who studies the relationship between pop culture and socioeconomic imbalances, the system of women being pitted against each other forms the fabric of a heteronormative society. Yeah. And so we're part of the homoerotic society where we're just pressed up against each other.
Oh, yeah.
Not pitted. Okay, sorry.
I mean, I think it's hard, though, because you always want to be like, I mean, even I said this, especially working in comedy, you deal with this with so much. But there is so many female comedians that want to be the only female there. They want to be the only person, and they want to, and they slowly morph into just as bad as a man because they treat women the same, they make the same jokes, and it becomes hard. But at the same time, it's so hard to blame them fully because it comes out of this, like, there can only be one woman.
Yeah.
There can only be, like, one person who's not white. There can, so you're slowly causing, like, everyone to kind of go against each other for their own wants and needs. Because I do think for a really long time, and especially, I mean, in so many fields, but I know for me in comedy, it was like, there gets to be one girl on this improv team. There gets to be, so if you don't want to encourage your girlfriends to go audition for it because you're like, I want to get on too. And so it's almost like you feel so bad to blame women because it is, at the end of the day, not their fault, but also something they need to be aware of and do better at. It's not that they are doing good, but I just think it's sad. I think it's very sad.
I do too. You guys should read the book I was talking about, I think last episode. It's called The Witches Are Coming by Lindy West. And she does talk about Joan Rivers' influence in comedy, where like Joan Rivers was like one of the first female comedians, but she was very much a pull up the ladder type female comedian. And I think when a lot of people...
What do you mean by that?
When she gets to the top and then she, instead of helping out the women beneath her...
Oh, pulled
she
up the ladder. Yes, yeah. 100%.
And I know a lot of people like that. And so... So a lot of people think that when you give rights and freedoms and opportunities to other people, that it's a zero-sum game, which means they win something and you lose something, right, and it equals zero. But when in reality, there is space for all of us, right? And it's like a very literal way of thinking. Like one episode you were talking about, if we raise the price of a Big Mac to $40,
right,
then people are like, oh, I'm going to have to pay $40. And it's like, that's not how economics works.
No.
Like, it's not all based on you, the individual.
Right.
There's enough money, there's enough space, there's enough opportunities to go around. And if you view the world through like me, of course you're going to think that there's not enough to go around,
right,
because you don't have all the resources.
Right, right.
Yeah, so of course you're going to think, oh, shit. But when you open your eyes and you look around and you're like, oh my God, the U.S. is big and they have a big bank and they got a lot of money. There's a lot of space for people.
Yeah, when you realize that every issue we go back and forth and back and forth about, the government could, the U.S. could just pay for everything. We could all just live for free. I'm not saying I think that's what should happen. I'm just, we could. And it would all be free and it would be fine. They have enough money to do that.
I think we should give a real, real run at communism.
Yeah. We should just have a day, like a free day.
Yeah.
Everything's free.
What there was also, in contrast, the 2020s are so far a decade of peak girlification. Greta Gerwig's Barbie brought pink and hyperfem solidarity to the forefront, while online trends like girl dinner, hot girl walk, hot girl summer, girl math position similarities among women as a celebration. Okay, feminists, you're typing away. This is, the Barbie movie is a great start. It's a great baseline for feminism, right? But obviously, okay, so girl dinner, hot girl walk is a sort of anti-intellectualism. Anti-intellectualism, is that what it is?
Don't ask me, but it's not, I'm with you.
Because, like, you know when you're talking about how the pendulum swings way too far the opposite way?
Yeah.
Like, emphasis on hot girl walk, hot, like, girl math, it's almost like infantilizing yourself in a way to, like, sound like it's feminist. But infantilizing women is part of...
Yes.
The rights ideology, you know, you think that women aren't smart enough to get math. So girl math started as something fun, but now people have beaten it into the ground where it's like, no, that's actually kind of like infantilizing and opposite of what we were saying.
Well, or like girl dinner, where it was a fun thing and then it got taken to just be like, oh, all these women showing their eating disorders. And it's like, yeah, that is, we've gone way too far in the other direction. And now it's back to sad women shouldn't eat anything. It, you know, it's very sad.
So feminists, I didn't explain that well. We're trying.
You did.
You can, anti-intellectualism, give me a book recommendation because I've been meaning to get into it. But yeah, we see you.
I was shocked. The Barbie movie to me, I'm not going to get into my whole thoughts on Barbie movie. Overall, great film.
Yeah.
Obviously, I have some thoughts, but I thought it was good. But I did feel like it was like a movie I would show my kid to be like, this is the first step to talking about feminism. Like, it felt like such a beginner level of feminism. And I like was so shocked, honestly. And I don't mean to sound like elitist. I'm really not trying to, because I didn't go to college. I don't know any. I'm not very educated. So I'm not trying to sound like, oh, I couldn't believe how stupid people were. But I was surprised at all the videos online that were like, my boyfriend came and saw the Barbie movie with me. They're like bragging about their boyfriend.
Yeah.
And he literally has not stopped talking for the last 2 days about how taken aback he is. And like, he never thought about it that way. Like, he never thought about how like women don't have a place in society and women are treated XYZ. And I was like, he never thought about that? Like, that's wild to me.
Yeah.
Or you would see, you know, and I think it's different for our generation, because I would watch videos of like middle-aged older women watching clips of like America Ferrera's speech and being very emotional, and I do think that makes sense to me, because
that makes sense for older women.
That's what I mean. I'm like, you grew up in a time where like this movie would never have been made.
Yeah,
you were not always validated in these feelings. You were like trying to balance, like it was hard.
Yeah,
versus like, I don't know, when a 22-year-old is being on like America Ferrera's speech literally blew my mind. I'm like, what? Not to be rude, but that's crazy. This isn't a statement on America Ferrera. She did a great job. I'm just saying, like that speech was like what a that speech was no new information to me, or I think anyone I know.
Yeah.
It was literally just her being like, being a woman is hard. Being a mom is hard. We got to be perfect, but we're also judged. And I'm like, that is so clear to me. And so I was just very surprised at like some of the men online that were younger that were so taken aback by the Barbie movie, because I was like, which is great. That really shows how far we have to go and why this movie was clearly important. You got to really put out an easy film that's digestible.
Yeah.
But I was like, you've never thought about the fact that women have it much harder than you have it?
Yeah.
Interesting. That would be a red flag to me.
Oh, that like pisses me off. Oh my God. I talked about the time I worked in advertising and there was like a women's coalition or whatever, and like a dude joined, and he was like, when I had a daughter, I realized how women are real people. And I'm like, you have sisters, you have a mother. You never saw the humanity in any of the women around you until there was one that was an extension of yourself.
Yes.
So that means that's conditional. Like, you know, you're not. And
it's so mean, but that's like when anyone uses the term where they're like, this person, you see something horrific. This person has a family. This person has a mother. And I'm like, the fact that we have to say that is insane. The fact that you have to be like, I need to relate to this person so I don't think that they should have to suffer is so bizarre. Because also, there are people who do not have a family. There are people who do not have parents, don't have a partner, that are truly all by themselves, and they still deserve healthcare, life, food, water, safety. It's like so insane to me.
You are so right. Oh my gosh. I've been reading so many books about like hoarders, people who are substance users. And like, there's so many times where people are so tempted, that saying where it's like, why do bad things happen to good people? Why do bad things happen to anybody? Because life sucks, right? Even bad people do. Like, the thing is like, every person deserves life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. Yeah. And like, the thing is if you think only good people deserve good things, what does good mean?
Right.
Especially in like a white supremacist culture. Like, good is often going to be associated with. Yeah.
Well, I remember in high school we were doing a lesson on like cybersecurity or whatever, and I remember my teacher said this thing that always stuck with me, which was just kind of like, you think you don't, and this isn't to be like a conspiracy theorist that thinks everyone's tracking you at all times, but he was like, you think what you're doing now is not bad. Like, you post on the internet and you think that what you're doing is fine, but at any moment what you are doing that is fine could be considered illegal, or could be considered, like, with the change of a president, with the change of anything, what you're doing, even if you're like, I have a religion that I practice and I'm, that could become really dangerous for you. Not to say you shouldn't post about that stuff on the internet, but I just was like, you never know when things are going to change to being unacceptable on the internet. I don't remember how that related to what we were talking about, but it reminded me.
Oh, I was thinking, okay, we could do it in like the substance use thing where you're talking about like luck and circumstance. Like, your circumstances can change, right? Like,
I'm with you.
So you know how your dad was in a wheelchair?
Yes.
And I am an alcoholic?
Yes.
Any one of you listeners could have one unfortunate event.
That's how this happens, right?
And so like, and so you're down on society would consider your luck, right? And so they could be like, that's a bad.
Yeah.
What you did you do that to yourself?
Yeah.
And that decision, even though you deserve to be treated like as an equal, if you happen to, you know, something is disabling or you're homeless, you still deserve to be treated with. Yeah.
Well, and I think it's really hard for people to stomach on both sides of the aisle. Because you see it. I see it a lot with, obviously, I pretty much only follow people who are, I don't follow any right-winged people on the internet. Besides you, I guess.
Candace, I was going to say Candace Owens.
Besides, no, I didn't follow Candace Owens. But if she wants to be a guest, I'm just kidding. I do not like Candace Owens.
Yeah.
No, I don't follow any like right-winged conservatives, so I am just seeing liberal people talk about stuff. But I will see sometimes, and I've talked about this before, but I will be so surprised at the how conditional people are with, I think I follow a lot of people who are like, we all deserve everything.
Yeah.
But then a case like, I think I have talked about this before, but like a case like Gabby Petito happens.
Yeah.
And I was seeing people I know that are like, don't believe in the police and all of this stuff being like, we should break into Brian Laundrie's house and kill him and his family. And I was like, what? You don't think that? Like, from everything you've told me, you don't think that. But because they're fired up about something, it's kind of like when someone's kid passes away, they throw caution to the wind and are just like, I want, no matter what they think about prison, they're like, I want my daughter's killer to rot in jail because they're so fueled by emotions, which... That is a situation I can't imagine being in, but that is, you can't do that. Like, you have to believe something wholeheartedly, no matter who that, no matter who that resource is being given to. And I feel like I see it so much. I feel like I've talked about this before too. Sorry if I'm repeating myself, but I'm always surprised when I'll see these women online who are like Christian influencers who clearly vote. I think even have said like they vote for Trump.
Yeah.
You know? But they spend all of their time like, I've seen specific women on TikTok who are like this, and they spend all of their time collecting donations for foster children, collecting like money to give to a homeless person and doing all this stuff. And I'm like, that's so interesting because you clearly do care, but you are voting for everything that is against what you're doing. Honestly, all the stuff you're doing wouldn't be necessary if we had the other stuff you're not voting for. And I was talking to my girlfriend about it, and she was like, yeah, I think it's because they want to be in control of who receives that. Like, they need to deem that person worthy of it. And you can't do that on either way. If you think people should get health care and then you find out they are homophobic, I still think a homophobic person deserves health care.
Yes.
And they may think I deserve to die, but that doesn't matter because you can't pick and choose because that gets so complicated. And I don't think if you think I should die, that is on you. But I still think you should be able to go to the doctor and be fed, and that is just what I believe,
because that's integrity, because like what you believe, what you say, every person, even bad people, do deserve healthcare because it's not transactional. The fact that you hate me doesn't negate that I think that you deserve healthcare.
Right.
Part of the reason why you hate me is lack of education.
Right.
And if I could pay, if my taxes could go to the education system in America, it would decrease the amount of people who would hate people like me.
Yeah.
No, what you're saying, that's having integrity
and
believing what you say. Like, it, like you're a lot of Republicans don't want to like they've cut funding to schools, right? Unless it's the one that your kid is zoned to. It costs $80,000 to incarcerate a child. However,
sentence alone is just so crazy.
Right? But like it's like $10,000 to like actually educate them. And so like do you know what I mean? You spend like 8 times more putting a child in jail for committing a crime than just investing in schools because education is how you like.
Right.
In being around other children and like open to ideas in your youth, it's like learning a second language. The best time to learn that other people are human beings who are gay and different races and are women, like, is when you're a child. And so like if you invest young, you will, there will be less incarceration when they're older.
Right. Yeah.
And so
And then we're going to have so many people trying to kill the seals. Actually, I don't think I talked about this episode, so that might be confusing, but I talked a lot about seals in the last episode.
And we're going to get back to that. But no, like, people don't, and it's like, people don't like preventative measures because, like, it's ableism. Because you think that, oh, I'm invincible, right? Like, I'm like, I'll never get lung cancer from smoking because I don't have it now. I know that something's circling around.
Yeah.
But, like, the thing is because, like, you know, people think, oh, I'll never be disabled. I'll never get hit by a car until you do.
Right. And then you are. And then you will become an advocate. It's so, that is what is so, I think I get so infuriated. And you see this all the time on TV where it's like, I am the owner of a not, it could be, I've seen it be with a Republican, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I used to not care about this thing, but then this happened to me and it changed my life. And I'm like,
what, you know what that sounds like?
Are you kidding me?
That sounds like I didn't respect women until I had a daughter.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But it's just like how I know there are pastors across the country who are so anti-abortion, their daughter gets pregnant, she gets an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Because they, and it is so infuriating. There are so many people who cannot put themselves in other people's shoes. Like, it is not, and I was talking to my girlfriend about this last night when I was talking about the seals. Watch the last episode or watch the documentary. You got to hear about these
damn
seals.
You have got to watch this documentary.
But I was going, it's not, I was like, these people are, not everyone in Cape Cod, for my Cape Cod listeners, but I was like, a lot of these people in this documentary are truly dumb. They're being explained the truth.
Yeah.
I sound like a cult leader.
Yeah.
They're being explained the truth. They're being explained the scientific, like, proof behind this thing that would help them solve the issue they're having.
Yeah.
And they still are just like, no, I want to do this thing because this thing is what I want to do. And I was like, I am not a very educated, I try to self-educate, but I, you know, had a learning disability all through school and then didn't go to college. So I'm not like a Harvard grad over here.
Yeah.
But I have like, so I was like, I don't even know if it is a lack of education. It is like a true born with it critical thinking.
Yeah.
That does not exist. And obviously you can get better at critical thinking and you can raise your kids to have good critical thinking. But like some people, you're like, it has nothing to, because there's also people who are incredibly educated.
Yes.
Who are terrible critical thinkers.
Yeah.
Anyways,
well,
it's
I mean,
wild.
You're talking about the difference between, okay, I guess in layman's term, it's like street smarts.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but there's also intelligence and then there's emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
You have emotional intelligence.
Thank you, Sarah. You do too.
Thank you. I think, and the thing is, I am autistic, so I do think usually in black and white, which is not necessarily a good thing because either something is going to be super bad or super good. However, through reading and just interacting with others and forcing myself to put myself in someone else's shoes, you know, that's compassion. You learn, like, that's emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
When you start to see the nuance and the gray in the situation, that's when you can, you know, feel for other people.
Right.
And truly, like, you know, it's not just you who exists in the world. There are other people. And when you invest in others, when you invest in your community, it helps you and it helps others.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, like when, if you come in here with good, that's just basic crowd work.
Yeah.
If you were to walk into this room in a good mood, you know what would happen to me? I'd be in a good mood.
Yeah.
If you walked in here just like, I don't want to talk.
Right.
Like, don't look at me. That's, I'm going to feed off of that.
Yeah.
And so, like, if you invest compassion, you will, God, guys.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's just really, it is really wild. Sometimes it does feel like there is, and I know this is putting both people in a huge box, but sometimes it does feel like conservatives can be very, like, now, like, what is happening right now? And I think sometimes when I look at, like, things that I believe in, I'm like, just do what I say for 15 years and you will see how different it is.
Yeah.
And the things that you want, like, I don't understand the lack of compromise. It's like, you don't want abortions to happen, then let me, not me specifically, I don't have time, but let me be in charge of deciding how we should teach sex ed, and we should, there's, and I still think abortion should be legal even if that was true, but like you, there's no, it's like you don't want to deal with the before, you don't want this one thing to happen, but you also don't want to do any of the things to prevent it. That's what you just said. I was repeating you, but I agree.
It's the controlling others and the instant gratification, because the problem is not directly in front of your face or literally in your daughter's womb.
And to bring it back, I don't think you can be a girl's girl if you're not a girl for every girl.
That's true.
So I think if you are a girl's girl, but you are like talking about your white friends at the country club who you guys are ride or die, that's not a girl's girl. And you have to be like, I'm sorry to make everything political, but you have to be a political girl's girl too and care about everyone, not just in the U.S. and not just, you have to care about girls in general, girls' education, girls' rights, girl. You have to care about girls, not on a surface level, like, if you were drunk, I'd drive you home at the bar way. Not that that's surface level. You should do that.
But, yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Here's another great book. It's Black History Month. You should read Hood Feminism. It's about, it's feminism for the women that the movement forgot. That's what the title is. But yeah, like, if you, to be a girl's girl, you really got to think about what other girls deal with. There's a lot in the Black and brown communities, like there's a housing, like is a huge issue. Right. And so housing you wouldn't necessarily think of as an inherently feminist issue. But if there are girls, there's a large population of women who feel like uncertain and anxious about like where they're going to live, like that and affects a large part of the female population. Yeah. That is a feminist issue. So, yeah. But yeah. Oh, my gosh. The girls, you have to be a girl's girl for everyone, even if you don't like them. Girls, girlism is not transactional.
Yeah.
And that's like the same as like if you're walking along the street and you give $5 to someone who is homeless and the homeless person is like, fuck you, and they take the $5 and run off. Don't be like, oh, I should have never given them that.
No.
Because what? Because they hurt you. They weren't grateful. They're unhoused.
Right.
If I was unhoused, I'd be pissed all the time.
Yeah.
And if you expect gratitude, that's just transactional, you know?
But I think that's where a lot of people, it's like, you want to be in control. Not you, but...
I do.
You want to be in control. No, people want to, you know, like, I think if there was someone who was unhoused, like, you hear this all the time where it'll be like, well, my uncle was really homophobic, but there was a man who was gay in our town who didn't have a house, and my uncle let him move in with us. And it's like,
that's
okay. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Because if so, so it feels very controlling, where it's like, well, I need to personally, first of all, get the award for being nice, and I need to be. Why am I forgetting the word? I need to be appreciated for that.
Yeah.
But another thing is you get to choose, like, do I like, okay, this gay, specific gay person, do I like them? And do I feel like they have earned, like, do I feel like they can handle, and do I feel like this will help them? Versus, like, there are people who are unwell and unhoused.
Yeah.
And, like, they deserve help even if we're not working towards them going back to college and being a doctor. They always start, like, my therapist talks a lot about the pillars of resilience. Have I told you about this?
No.
Where it's like, it's kind of, I need to do more research on it. I just remember what she told me about it. But it is just this thing that talks about, like, why are some kids that are in really bad situations, really bad home lives, are not set up for success, how do they get out of it? And why do some kids just, like, crash and burn and are not even close? And what is the difference between those children? And they talk about, like, the pillars of resilience. And they're just things that if a kid has them, they can kind of push them to the top and or to be successful.
Yeah.
And one of the ones I thought was really interesting was one of the pillars is attractiveness of the child.
Oh, yeah.
And that's not just in looks, but that is part of it.
Yeah.
Where it's like if you see a little girl who's super, like she's in third grade and you're her teacher and she's so charming and she's so fun and she's like, you know, she's popular.
Yeah.
She's
cute.
And like, you know, she has stuff going on. People rally around that child who's charming versus like a kid in the same position who's maybe less like would be a model on a Target ad and less likely to, but also just like maybe is shy, doesn't really interact with a lot of the kids, is just not charming, is not a showy person.
Yeah.
They are much less likely, that's just one of the pillars, but they're much less likely to succeed and get out of that situation.
Yeah.
Well, and so I think I see that a lot with like the way people deal, the way a lot of conservatives will deal with like the homeless population or foster care. It's like they want to give back, but only to the people they deem, like if it will help them. And it's like, that's not what it's about.
Yeah.
Like all of these people need help and they're not going to, it doesn't matter if they get to your standard is what is successful. Sometimes the goal is literally just to feed them, house them, and make sure they're warm. Like, that is just that's the goal.
Yeah, like, and you can also see how that pillar of resilience will be immediately racist. Because
100%.
And fatphobic and ableist because, I mean, in a Eurocentric beauty standard society, being thin, white, and able-bodied is what is likely considered attractive, right? And so the child would, you're set up to fail if you're not that.
Yes, well, I really, that, because there are other pillars that, you know, I think are really, I think that's all helpful to know, but like, I know one of them is like, having one adult that is stable, like a stable person in your life. There's other pillars like that. But I think when you hear like a white person being like, well, there's a whole other slew of issues with this, but a white person being like, I don't have white privilege. Like, I grew up in a really bad way. Like, my childhood was really, really hard. I think the pillars of resilience is just another one of thousands of proof of kind of like, yes, but you still had more privilege because you were white. You still, in the pillars of resilience, had a way better chance of getting out because people are more likely to rally around you because of their own, you know, racism.
Yeah.
And so I just thought it was really interesting because I am always just flabbergasted by these people who vote for someone who is going to take so many rights away, but then they spend their, I know people who run charities. Like, they spend their whole life being like, I want to help the foster kids. I want to help people who can't afford to eat. And I'm like, what are you doing? You do all this work and then you counteract it every year when you vote for a person who is going to defund all of these things. Like, it does not make sense, but I do think it's that control thing of like, I am a girl's girl for the girls that I deem worthy or for the girls that agree with me. And it goes both ways. Like, you can't, I have seen people be like, you know, turn on someone because they're super conservative and be like, I hope he rots in hell. Like, he deserves to die. And it's like, you also can't do that. Like, you have to...
Wishing hell upon someone is different
hell
than...
Hell is fun.
...than withholding health care.
I think that's what I mean. Like, I guess my... And maybe I didn't voice this correctly, but if someone is in the hospital and it's like, he shouldn't even get care, he can rot in hell type of thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is my opinion. People can disagree, but I'm like, you still... I think it's just like, because once you go down that road, who's deciding who's worthy of anything?
Yeah.
It's not that I personally want this man to be striving, but on just like a level of the way, you know, if I was in a hospital, well, and this does happen, but and someone found out I was gay, I would want them to still give me health care.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know.
No, no, it does make sense. I would, if our senators were all in the hospital, I would go bed to bed, touch their foot gently and be like, you deserve health care, but I wish you would rot in hell. You deserve, you know, because I feel like I don't really believe in the existence of hell, so wishing something fake upon someone, but, you know, but I totally.
Well, I think it's hard because with senators and all these people, you can easily be like, well, why should I give a fuck? Because they XYZ, XYZ, and they didn't care about the lives of these people. Mm-hmm. But I think it's just like, it's all bad. So we need to just like work towards that not being a thing. It's hard because, you know, I'm never going to have my utopian society, but I just keep wishing it.
We keep trying. I would love just a big old island of lesbians who are cool. You don't have to be nice because nice is just, I mean, you can be like cordial and hospitable, but like, yeah, I think, and so girls are cool. You know, I did mention to Jake, I wanted to talk about the hey girly posts. You know, basically when a woman receives a DM that starts with hey girly, they expect it to be from someone who is reaching out to tell them that their boyfriend is cheating. But sometimes you'll see like girls reach out to other girls and this is, it's flawed. But, I mean, I think it's fun when a girl is like, reaches out to another girl, is like, hey, can you see if my boyfriend's cheating on me? And then she'll like slide into his DMs and he'll be like, oh, show me your boobs. And she'll be like, yes, girl, he wants to cheat on you. Have you ever been cheated on?
No.
I was dating a dude at 18. Oh, God. He was a nice guy. The last day I saw him, he drove into a lake.
Oh,
he's alive.
Is he okay? Okay,
he's
good.
Alive.
That's insane.
It was a very shallow lake.
Purposefully or intoxicated?
I think
or bad at driving.
I think he was upset.
Oh,
intoxicated.
No. Oh no.
But no, the thing is it was in Virginia. there's a lot of water everywhere.
The way you said it, like, that makes it okay. No. At first, you're like, but okay, it was in Virginia.
No, you guys understand lack of guardrails. Okay, Virginia people, vouch for me. You know how there's just sometimes just water there? Like, he was just upset driving and there was no guardrail.
Were you in the car?
No. Oh, but I saw it and he was fine.
There are some famous girls.
Yes, there are some famous girls.
Renee Rapp, famous girls.
She just came out as a lesbian.
Renee Rapp, good for you.
Mm-hmm. I knew it.
We all
I hate saying that about someone because I feel like, I don't know, I feel rude.
Yes, because you feel, well, I always feel weird saying because I don't want it to be like biphobic and feel like I'm being like, I knew you said you were bi, so I knew you were going to come out as a lesbian. But that's not it. Some people, it's like, well, you say you're bi, but then you only talk about women and continually talk about unattracted to men you are. And then when you come out, we're like, yeah, we kind of, whereas like I have bisexual friends who, you know, like both men and women. Obviously you can lean more one way, but Renee Rapp wasn't doing a lot of leaning. There was a lot of standing still and
that's what I was
in
thinking.
The lesbianism.
My bi friends, when they talk about like attraction to like girls and guys, it seems like, I mean, there's the ones that I know in real life, there's no real emphasis on like, it seems pretty like even or like if they're dating someone at the time. But like Renee Rapp just always seemed to be only talking about the girls. And I was like,
yeah, right. But that's kind of a different type of girl. I guess girl, that's just a lesbian. If you're a girl for girls.
Yeah.
But I guess she also is constantly spotted hanging out in female-only friend groups. Her famous group chat with all her friends is called TikTok Hoes. And she's the other
that's
star.
So girls, girl. That's so girl. I love that about her.
Okay. Taylor Swift is also listed as a girls. I can't do a second episode talking about Taylor Swift. I'm going to get sued and kicked off the internet.
I'm going to say Olivia. Okay, even Olivia Rodrigo. I love her. Let me just say this. Rodrigozers. What are they with the fans?
I don't know.
Olivers?
What?
Olivia heads?
I don't know.
Sour Patch Kids? Because Sour?
That's cute. Okay, that's cute.
The only thing is like she did write those songs about like... And then Sabrina Carpenter wrote All Because I Liked a Boy. And then she got all that hate.
I don't know if I would... Yeah, I don't know if her music... Although I guess there's... Does she write her own music?
One of her big things is that she's very much a songwriter. Okay. That's why Taylor's threatened by her.
Not a girl.
I think Olivia Rodrigo is serious competition for Taylor Swift.
I agree. I'm with you there. Mm-hmm. I guess her music isn't very girl. I think you're right, because a lot of her music is like,
well, the thing
I'm
is,
I'm so mad at you. Although it's real things. I mean, if you are dating someone and then you see them be like in Deja Vu, it's like you see them be the same exact, do the same stuff with a new girl. You can like the girl and still be like, that hurts.
Yeah, that is true. I think, I think it's the girls, they don't center men. But men can obviously still hurt you because you're a dynamic individual who experiences multiple things.
Yeah.
And has many truths.
Yes, totally. Yeah. Some other non-relationship girl moments. Do you want to read a couple of these? Any ones that stick out to you?
Yeah, so here are some other non-relationship... Okay, so yeah, Whitney Houston is the best answer. She was not threatened by her female competition. She even did a duet with Mariah and mentioned Brandy, a true girl's girl. Well, that's also when you know who the fuck you are.
Yeah.
Whitney Houston being threatened by I mean, even Mariah Carey, top of her game as well. But like, I feel like when you know who you are...
Right.
Like, I mean, of course Whitney's not going to be threatened by anyone.
Yeah. Well, it almost makes you look so insecure, too. I mean, it always, but it's like, when you're that big and then you see, like, if, for example, Taylor Swift, I don't know the whole tea around the Olivia Rodrigo stuff, but it's like, Taylor Swift is unstoppable. Like, she's so fucking famous and so successful. And you, like, she is the most Grammys of anyone or something. I don't even know, but... when you see her be intimidated by like a 16-year-old, you're like, wait, what? Like, it makes them look kind of, it's like kind of embarrassing where you're like, I thought you knew you were like the shit.
Yeah.
And now it seems like you don't know that, which feels insane because you can't get more successful than you are. So you just need everyone to stay non-successful so you can feel comfortable. Like, that feels wild. There's also when Simone Biles withdrew from the Tokyo Olympics in 2021 because she wanted to take care of her mental health. She received a ton of backlash, but Michelle Obama then took to Instagram to let her know just how proud she was of her decision.
I think everyone just riles behind Simone Biles, even with her boyfriend, husband shit.
The thing is, get me started.
That's
a whole fucking episode.
I know. Simone is just like, there's a similar to like Whitney Houston, when you are like, they are out of this world good, mm-hmm. that like, they're like the girlest girl. Like, yes. they are girl yes, defined.
Yeah. They're girl defined.
Wait, no, shit, sorry.
When Cheryl Lee Ralph, I'm obsessed with Cheryl Lee Ralph.
Oh, yeah.
I've always loved her, but it wasn't until Abbott Elementary that I started, like, following her on Instagram. She posts like someone who just became famous yesterday.
Oh, that's what I love about Britney Spears' Instagram.
It's so genuine. Like, Cheryl Lee Ralph standing in front of a billboard of her and Abbott being like, my dreams are finally coming true. Like, this means everything to me. Like, she has been jaded in no capacity. She is, like, still so grateful to be on set. She is so, like, she's just taking every day as if it's a new... She's so excited to be on a TV show. I think she's been famous for so long.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Cheryl Lee Ralph has been famous for a long time.
She has. Yeah.
She doesn't seem... She seems like my... Like, kids, that's rude. She seems like people I went to acting school with who, like, booked their first indie project and would put like, a long paragraph on... It's like a student film. And they put, like, a long paragraph on Facebook about how, like, their dreams are finally coming true. That's, like, Cheryl Lee Ralph anytime she books anything. And it's very sweet. I love her.
I know, And so she defended her Abbott Elementary co-star Quinta Brunson after Jimmy Kimmel stole the spotlight during Quinta's groundbreaking Emmy speech.
Oh, really? I didn't see that.
Jimmy, shut the fuck up. Shut up.
I gotta look that up.
Oh, when Victoria Monet won her Grammys. I love Victoria Monet. And she also gave a speech. She's been in this, like, singing for, like, 15 years.
Yeah.
She wrote, basically, Ariana Grande's entire discography. Mm-hmm. And she finally won for herself. And I was like, yeah!
That's very nice.
I took my top off.
Well, there you go. There's so many amazing girls. It's good to be a girl's girl. It is good. I think, you know, even if you're not a girl, be a girl's girl.
Yeah.
You identify as something else that's amazing and you're still a girl's girl. I think girl's girl is like a
lifestyle.
I don't need to make it sound so gendered, but girl's girl feels like just a word that means you don't have to be a girl to be a girl's girl.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's decentering of men. Like, the priority is the feelings of men. Get that out. I mean, you can consider, like, if you have a guy friend, you can consider his feelings.
We'll allow it.
But if you put everything through the lens of what will men think of when I do this?
Yeah.
Or will guys like when I... And it's like, you need to... You release your inhibitions. Feel the rain.
Release your inhibitions.
You know, you gotta put the lens through... Yeah.
You gotta put the lens through it.
You understand.
Seriously, you guys.
And this episode has been sponsored by LensCraft. No.
Well, there you have it.
Yeah.
Sarah, I always have your back.
I have your back in front.
Oh, thank you.
I just laughed and farted a little bit.
Sarah.
Sorry, I wanted to tell you just in case. Oh, I laughed too hard. Okay. Just in case I'm sorry, guys. You can't, but.
Just in case what?
Just in case you smell something.
Oh. I did it just in case. Just in case. No, I was like, what? Thank you so much for listening. Happy Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure to rate and review if you're listening anywhere you get your podcast, Spotify, Apple Music. And if you're on YouTube, make sure to comment down below who you love that's not a man.
Mm-hmm. And I was going to say, feminists, you understand that we have the bone structure of feminism and we are feminists. So if we missed any details, please iron them out politely.
In the comments.
In the comments. Yeah.
Have a wonderful Wednesday, and we hope you're just doing dandy. Bye.
Bye.
Finding a doctor is truly the hardest thing on planet Earth, which is so unfortunate because when you're feeling really sick, the last thing you want to do is talk to an old man who has no idea what you're going through and doesn't understand anything about medical stuff or science and just tells you to drink more water. That is just the worst feeling ever. And that's why I use ZocDoc. If you listen to this podcast, you know I'm obsessed with ZocDoc. It's the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Go to ZocDoc.com/BCC and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's zocdoc.com/BCC. ZocDoc.com/BCC.